Good evening, everybody. This is Gordon, W2 Tango Tango Tango. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, or simply the TechNet. All stations, whether or not you're a Barra member, are welcome to participate in the net. Amateur radio is a technical hobby, and therefore, by definition, any subjects related to amateur radio or applications of telecommunications, electronics, etc., and things related to those things, it's pretty much fair game within the bounds of good taste and the fact that you might have a license class that allows you to transmit in the 2-meter band. The format of this net is a little different than most. The net is basically one where you come in, you identify yourself with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment for the net, or none of the above. Just as a reminder, amateur radio is a wonderfully diverse hobby. And so there's no question that's too complex or one that's too simplistic for us to listen to. We may not be able to answer it, but by gosh, we should all listen to it. I find that very often even the apparently simple questions spark someone to try something they've never tried and always thought to try, or, you know, got off their dupa and revisited something that gave them great pleasure a long time ago, and they find out just how much more fun it is even now, given changes in the state of the art, etc. So, with that in mind, we're going to get moving here and start the net. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment. Okay. There are not too many alpha stations out there tonight. Not a problem. Well, stations whose call signs, your game now. Try, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
M2OEL, one question.
Okay, N2OEL, we have you, Noel, with one question. I'm wondering if there's anybody else, November call with a question or a comment or none of the above would like to check in. Please call K2BAR.
And that's 2K, Jim. No question at this point.
Good evening, Jim. Hear you as well. By the way, Jim, I think you got your cup, but Noel, you did not. I received insulated mugs from the bike club, inflated water bottles actually, and they're good for hot and cold. So next time we get together, remind me. I have the box in my truck, and I'll keep it there until they're all gone. Alrighty, any other November stations, questions, comments, or none of them, please come with your call sign, your name, and what your status is. This is K2BAR. Alrighty. Now let's try the big list. Helos, any Helos station, please call K2BAR. Call sign name and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above.
This is Kilo to Zillow Oscar, and I have questions.
Okay. So if you have a question, fun. Anybody else with a Kilo call?
Alright, I doubled with you. This is K2AMI, Tony. I have a question.
Wow. That's two. Three, actually. All right. Well, maybe I am crazy, but that's your right. All righty. Good evening, Tony. Anybody else with call K2BAR with a Kilo call only, please?
KA2BDU. Talmud, and I do have a question.
Wow. 4 out of 5 have questions, and I have something, too. So it's 5 out of 6, actually. All right. Very good. Helmut, good evening to you. Any other Kilo stations?
K2 Zulu Charlie, no questions.
Dave, always nice to question or not. Any other Kilo stations? Whiskey stations, please. Call sign name and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above.
This is W2JEK. Don, no questions.
Name Don. Any other whiskey stations? Okay, any other late check? check-ins for the net, for the tech net, please call K2BIR with a question, a comment, or none of the above. Okay, folks, well, we have a busy night. There are 8 of us here, but 5 out of the 8, I guess, have something to say, which is pretty amazing. First of all, Noel, I got wind that you might have a new bike coming, and that's really cool. I looked at the model online that you were getting. It's very, very, very cool. Looks to me like you have enough metal there for a ground plane on several bands, including perhaps even HF. I'm just kind of curious if you're getting the electric assist bike or you're going to have it all just manually pedaled. I priced out my version, by the way, of that bike without the electric assist, and I was up about $1,545 with all the features I'd want to put on it. And that's just the factory features. Pretty amazing. N2OEL, go right ahead with your questions, sir. This is KTAR.
I was thinking 10-meter mobile with an HTX 10 on 25-watt sine bed, 7 watts AM or 7 watts FM. Mine is 1140, but I got a $100 deduction for not putting on front drum brake, but I paid $100 more because they're putting my electric motor on it. The electric motor will be stronger because it will, 20-inch wheel, it'll turn 4 times now where it used to turn 3 times, which will give me uphills better. And I went for the crank and this option, that option, the bulletproof tires, the Kevlar tube, name it. I kind of got a lot. But everything done, delivered, it's going to be around 14. Okay, question. I got a Alpha Delta DXCC for $50 at the last Amfest in Oakland here. Saturday. It's 82 foot long. There's no traps. It has full size 10, 15, 20, and 40 meters. On 80 meters, it basically oil way out. I also happen to have another antenna, which I never put up, very well made. I bought it at Middletown a year ago, 160-meter dipole. Happens to be also exactly 82 feet long. I picked that because that's the space. I'm thinking of putting it up as an inverted V. Question is, soldered, I said, oh, gee, maybe I could just take the two elements out of the 160, attach it to the same feed point here, nicely made, and I'll have an all-band HF antenna. Question is, 160 cause a problem if I put a 160 resonant element in a multi-band dipole of that nature, and 2OEL.
Okay, just to make sure I understand something, the model you bought was the DX Delta Delta, right?
Charlie.
I don't know what that is. Okay. Because mine's 82 feet long. It's the 8040 antenna. And I use it on all the bands. It seems to work just fine. And I use mine as an inverted V on one leg and a flat top on the other. So go figure. The answer to your question is, yeah, you can do that. There's... neither antenna is going to maintain its original resonant point or resonant characteristics, so some use of a tuner will be advised, but you do save yourself a feed line. I would be very surprised if they both didn't work. Just make sure you keep the wires at least a reasonable distance from each other. You don't have to make them perpendicular or anything, but you know, fan them out a bit in the vertical axis, I would think. Put one above the other or something, make one an inverted V and one a flat top or something, like that. That would be my advice. Anybody else want to chime in on this one? This is K2BAR.
This is K2ZO. I'm not sure I understand what that antenna is. You say it's 80 feet long, and yet it covers 80 meters?
Yeah, it's linearly loaded.
Oh, okay. It's linearly loaded. All right. So you come back on it. And then what he's thinking about doing is just putting in parallel a 160-meter pair of wires. Is that correct?
Oh. Yes, Noel?
Looking at the case here, it's got one heck of a lot of wire. Got it. It's got about 8 to 10 pounds, a little more. It has two coils. They're obviously... maybe, and there's a heck of a lot of turns on the coils. So it's a coil load, it's not linearly loaded. Basically, it's full size. There are spacers. I went online and looked at it. spacers hold the wires maybe 6-8 inches apart, and all the wires are full size except for the 80 meter one, which has this humongous coil, pair of them, one for each end, to load it up on 80 meters. Of course, I'm going to have relatively narrow bandwidth, but it's not linearly loaded. It's, what do you call it? You put in ducts in it, and it's really up.
Okay, so you have a wire for each of the frequencies in question that's essentially full size, except for 80, where they have these two coils. That's what they refer to as linearly loaded. It's not linearly loaded continuously, just linearly loaded at one point.
Okay, because some of the antennas that say linearly loaded basically have a wire to fold back on itself, maybe twice even, and it just goes back and forth, back and forth. That's a different type of linear loading than NVOIL.
I agree.
Right, okay. Yeah, so this is a coil, and then it's got some wire outboard of the coil so as to not create a high current spot by concentrating the wire in one place. So, Jim, continue.
Okay, so if you have enough room to put a 160-meter dipole up there, why fool around with a loaded 80-meter dipole that's going to be very narrow? Why not make the 80-meter a full-size dipole and get that to work, then put the 160 on there? I actually think you could, well, depending, if you've got the tuner, you could probably use the thing on the 160, because losses are pretty low in the coax at that time.
I have 102 feet G5RB, and I have to jiggle with it to keep the ends from touching. So I might have 104, 105 feet. It's that close. At 100, if I went to 110 feet, I would be in the trees on one end or the other.
Okay, well, I still can't figure out what you're doing then, because I understood that you had a 160-meter dipole, which obviously you don't have.
Yeah, sure. Same thing as the 80-meter. It's got about 40 feet outside, 40 feet, no, about 20, 30 feet, a big coil, and then the rest of the wire. So basically it's a huge loaded dipole.
Okay. Most people have antennas that are 80 and 160, and they're loaded with coils. Is that what the antenna is? In which case, you'll have two 80-meter antennas on that thing.
I have a 160 only that's loaded with a coil.
Okay, because most of the coils that are in a 160 are usually set up so that they put them at the point where they end up working on both. I think it'll work. I don't think it's going to detune anything else. But I didn't realize that that's what you had. So you're going to have a loaded one on 160 and a loaded one on 80 meters, and then you're just going to feed it with the tuner. I'm sure it'll work.
Okay, remind me Monday night, like email. I'll bring both antennas and the chokes and the capacitors and the little noise filters for radio, and you can play with everything and give your advice. And
okay. I can ask.
Who is there? Is there another station?
I just turned it back over to you.
Okay, sorry, Jim. Alrighty, very good. Well, my own experience, though, has shown that when you take a resonant dipole at any given band, you know, trapped, loaded, or whatever, and get it working, and then you couple it to another one, somehow or another, you lose some of the stability of the resonance. You know, it starts wandering off resonance because of, I guess, capacitive effects between the two antenna elements. But that's fine. I mean, it'll work just great. All right. Well, congratulations. I think that'll be just splendid. Okay. Any other questions from you, Noel? Any other comments you want to make? Please call KTBAR.
Nothing else. KTBR and Toyo. Clear. And listening.
72JEK with a question for Noel.
Go right ahead, Doc.
Noel, you say you have about 100 and some feet of span between your two insulators for your G5RV. Do you necessarily have to use coax, or can you, if you can use open wire, I was thinking of putting a 15-foot vertical section that, in other words, from the insulator toward ground, if it's up that high, at 15 feet at each end, so now you've got about 130 feet of wire. Feed it with open wire, and you can run it on all bands. That's over to you, Dose W2JK.
I have pointer, but I'm not sure if it'll handle it on all bands. I have 100 feet. I want it to get less than that because the trees are growing. So I figured I need something less than 100 feet. I was going to go, you know, 90 feet to be safe, but 82 seems to be the common size. I happen to have 100 feet of 450 ohm 18 gauge twin lead. I don't know if that's sufficient. Gordon talk about it. In fact, Jim was mentioning about sizes on the twin lead. I went and checked mine. It's 18 gauge 450 ohm. Back to you, Don, and to OEM.
Okay, Noel, very good. Yeah, well, you could, that's a possibility, too. You could do all your tuning in the shack. I remember my father put up a pair of inverted Ds, one for, I think it was one for 40 and one for 80 meters, and he was forever going nuts trying to get the things to stop interacting with each other. He had a set of traps on the one, I think it was like a 40 meter, on the one time, on the one antenna, and he was going nuts. But if you could have, you can sit there in the shack and just dial up the tuner a heck of a lot easier. But you know, you got your settings recorded, you're back to them when you're changing bands. Anyway, that's enough of near W2JEK, back to net.
Alrighty, well, that is splendid. Any other comments to Noel on the subject? This is KPD. Okie dokie. Well, then I guess our next question is, go to your K2ZO. Jim, over to you, K2BAR.
Okay. K2BAR, K2ZO. Okay, the other day at Kidnight, we built a little interface for Rachel. And what it was is to allow her to use her handy-talkie off the power supply in the car, the 12 volts. Now, we were doing this off the cigar lighter with a plug there, knowing full well that maybe off the battery would be better. But anyway, that's what we wanted to do. What I did is I came off that plug with a couple of series of diodes just to drop the voltage down a little bit to 1N5408s, they're really good for 200 amp surge and all that good stuff. And then I had one as a protector going from across to ground. So you had two diodes coming in and then one going to ground so that in case something got reversed, it would protect the radio. Also had a toroid with about 20 turns on there and a couple of capacitors. However, I still have noise. I still have alternator noise. And I was curious whether anybody had done something similar to that. Now, I know full well that if I get a three-terminal regulator, probably hanging on there, we'll take care of the problem. But again, with the handy-talkie that's drawing 2 amps, I'm going to have to get a big puppy of a regulator and a Z heat sink and everything else. I was just wondering if I just tossed that toroid and went to a regular choke, if it would make a difference. Anybody got any ideas? Go ahead.
Well, you put, you know, a choke in the lead like they show you, like one of those big automotive chokes, that'd be fine. How about a capacitor to feed through the ground?
Oh, I do have a capacitor across it. I have a couple of capacitors. Now, the problem with that was when I put a big capacitor and plugged the thing in, it just blew the fuses on the initial surge of the capacitor. So that was a problem. In other words, I'd end up having to use a protective fuse that was far in excess of what the device drew. So I put smaller capacitors there. I'm just wondering if I used a much bigger inductor. Basically, what I'm using is a toroid with 20 turns on it, and I just wondered if I had a real, you know, low frequency choke. If I could get that alternator whine out of there, it's not bad, but it's there.
And two OEL.
Go ahead, Noel.
Some time ago, I bought these so-called noise suppression kits, Parts Express. They're basically inch by inch. When you open up the plastic case, there's a what looks like a commercial, what looks like a transformer, except there's only one winding. So I would call that a choke. It was supposedly rated at 10 amps. I hooked them up in my car to the in my truck to the cigarette lighter with a battery pack in the back. As you know, I have two 115 amp batteries. I have a bunch of power poles coming off. And I have four cigarette lighter plugs for accessories. My fluorescent amps were noisy. I put those in the positive lead so I don't get fluorescent noise through to the other thing. The problem is when you try to draw 10 amps or 11 amps like my radios do, the voltage drops too much. So they won't be good for me. However, they probably would be good for you. And if you put two of them, one on each side, I think that wire will take care of all your voltage dropping that you need. It'll also suppress both common mode and differential mode noise rather well. It's faster after it. I think the simple thing would be that. I'm not sure what voltage your HD works on, though.
Okay, the what I did was used a couple of series diodes just to knock it down from the, you know, full 14 volts you get when you've got the alternator going. The handy-talkie is more comfortable on about something like 11 volts or so. So that's why I knocked it down with the two series diodes, which I could still do. All right, that'd be interesting. Yeah, if you could loan me those or whatever, we'll try them and see how they work.
Remind me Monday, I bought 50 and I only used 3 or 4. Gordon has a couple of those because I handed it to him along with a different kind of noise suppressor at one time. Gordon, you remember those?
I do, Noel, and I have tried to use them in what I'll call relatively high current applications, and you know, I made sure that they weren't wired up so they would melt, but I couldn't seem to, you know, see a noticeable difference with them, you know, running, 50 or more watts. It just seemed to be not the thing. But for knocking RF out of a handy talkie, AC hum or should we say buzz hum, whatever, out of a low current application, I think it'll be just fine.
Simple, small, you can fit it in the Altoids pocket.
True.
More comments?
What size is this thing?
K2QWM. Anyway, he was using the Hackensack police car when he was driving around, and he had alternating noise like you wouldn't believe. It was 50% of his audio. He had one of those Radio Shack chokes. It's commercially available Radio Shack, rated for 5 amps, and it brought his HD noise down to nothing. You wouldn't know that the vehicle was on or off. Most amazing thing. I don't know if I have any of those laying around. I'll look. The other thing is there should be a fused cigarette lighter. Mike used a regular cigarette lighter plug that had no fused tip, and one day his wires wore, the two wires crossed. It did draw enough fuse to blow to 15 amp fuse in the cigarette lighter. It did, however, turn the wires into red hot copper that melted their way through his front tire. A lot of unwanted attention from his superiors. It was funny. And to OEL, back to K2BAR.
Well, that's funny. That's very funny. I like that. All right, anybody else? K2BAR. Alrighty, I actually just finished building something, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, but other questions will go first. Jim, do you have any more you want to add to this before we move on?
That's it. I think I'm going to try the bigger inductor on that thing as we've got it breadboarded now, and then once we get the thing and get all the noise out, if it worked out well, Noel, that you said I'll probably go back to Radio Shack and buy one of those. If they still have them, I don't even know.
It depends on the Radio Shack. Alrighty. Dog and Pony Show along here. K2AMI, your question, sir. Good evening to you.
K2VAR, K2AMI. My question isn't exactly ham radio, but it's related in that over at midnight, IBM laptop computer, right, to get it working. Well, it requires a password to get on the startup menu. Anybody know how to avoid going to the password system is done or don't have the password?
Okay. What you do is Google, let me ask a question before we Google anything. Is this the Windows password or is this the BIOS password?
It's the Windows password.
The way you normally deal with that is that you can get into the BIOS, or if the BIOS is already set up, boot off of an external device. That way you're not getting into that. You can even maybe use a recovery disk from somewhere. And then go in, get your data files off, and then just flatten it. I think that's pretty much how it works. Or, that's my guess is to how it works. Now, there may be some tools for bypassing Windows passwords. If it's not logging into a domain, it's just a local password. My guess is there's some tools for that out there on the Internet. We can go look while you're here if you'd like.
No, I really don't care what data is on the computer. I wipe all the data. Tradition of putting in a flip disk. What I would try would take a at in the BIOS as the first CD as the first item, and then maybe feed in a new operating system. That does work. Formatting the entire disk, starting over again. Is that a sensible?
Yeah, plus or minus the drivers for that particular machine. The model number?
I have the Series I number on it, that's all. Series IBM.
It's a ThinkPad Series I. Is anything on the bottom or the back?
No patent numbers and things. It's not an actual model number.
Well, I don't see anything I. Oh, yeah, I do. The I Series. Had I Series later. I Series. Yeah, there's some notes by them. There's also Wikipedia. I would start there just to see if there's for that. I'm only thinking that because it's got some peculiar drivers.
Cool. Okay. We'll have to see. We need something to get that done, but take a shot. Pay my attention, and I'll branch out.
Okay, very good. Well, let's see, moving along, our next question comes from, you know what? I'll throw it out there. Does anybody else have anything they want to add to this question of the ThinkPad or, getting into it on a, shall we say, prejudicial basis? Okay. I know David's away and Charlie's not logged in tonight, so there we go. All right, our next question goes to KA2BDU. Mr. Helmut, K2BAR, good evening.
KA2BDU, thank you, Gordon, and good evening to all. I do have two questions. Here's my first question. How high may I go with my antenna when it's attached to a balloon? Over, back to net.
Are you within 5 miles of an airport? Okay, Helmut, are you within 5 miles of an airport? Guys, am I making it?
Yep.
Okay. Here's the deal. If you're within 5 miles of an airport, you have to notify the FAA virtually of just about anything sticking above about maybe 20 feet, it seems, or like outside. Having said that, there's probably, there are limits. I think it's 500 feet, but I'm not sure. Let me see, watching something on Wikipedia, not Wikipedia, on net about that. Someone had tethered a balloon about 100 or 200 feet in the air. War drive, of all things. But kind of interesting, you got like 800 networks and, you know, in like 15 minutes of raising a access point into the air. Regulation, and it's in Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations, canned balloons. Sure, there's some rules for unmanned balloons as well. I would go look there on the FAA.gov site. It has Title 14 in it. Other things, I would just enter balloon. The Balloon Info Center, laws and regulations. Oh, never mind. This is in case your kid chews, suffocates on them, chokes or suffocates them. Kite. Part 101 regulations are listed pretty clearly. Rockets, balloons, all that good stuff. Helium, hot air, all that good stuff. Aerial fireworks display. Looking, I'm looking for this. I want to, yep, less than 500 feet. Miles. Okay. Seems under 500 feet. As long as your other regulations here, too. 5 miles from an airport, boundary, you have to make sure ground visibility is less than miles, you have to do it on a clear day, that kind of thing. Is this going to be a tethered balloon, or is this going to be a free launch and see you later and hopefully recover it?
Now, I want to attach my 80 or 160-meter antenna to it.
Keep it under 500 feet, I think you'll be good.
Okay.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I was down at a QFP convention years ago at AA1MY. Seabury Lion's name is it. A thing called a sled kite. I mean, this thing was 9 feet by 12 feet, and it was riding this thing 5 to 800 feet above the ground. And I just went up on the just AA1MY on the computer now, and there's a site there that tells a lot about his sled kite and a bit about flying the kite, and he mentions 500 feet, but he says 500 to 800 feet is a good height to get away from ground target ones. Of course, this is meant to flying of the kite. It's a whole different thing, too. Okay, local regulations. Now, I recall there was one regulation that every so the nearest line to the runway to the where you were located, there was some kind of a ratio of mile away. You can only go up so far, and if you're 2 miles away, you can go up a certain higher and something like that. There was some kind of a regulation like that in the rule number, up something like that also. I don't know just where it would be, but I know that, you know, I see the planes flying over my place. They're maybe 1,000 feet up, some of them, and sometimes you wonder if they're 500 feet. And they're the ones that are coming into Newark. That fact and that. W2JK.
Right. Okay, well, if you're within 5 miles of an airport, you have all sorts of rules. If you're without 5 miles, then under 500 feet, you don't have pretty much any rules except for something. What I would do, and I just looked at this at Helmet on one website, is an extract of Title 101, FAA Part 101, pardon me, regulations. So I would just Google FAA Part 101 regulations, and all the rules related to that will be stipulated. Okay. Anything else from anybody else? This is KTBAR. All right, Helmut, any last questions or answers or comments? All right, I'll take that as a no. Very good. Let's do this. Before I ask my question, I'm going to, what do you call it, see if there's anybody else who'd like to check in. This is K2BAR. Wow, it's like hardcore night here. All righty. I'll give you the question, but I'm also going to put it in context. I've built the Carolina Wyndham, and Jim NS2K was kind enough to provide for me a 4-to-1 Valen that required some weatherproofing, so a 3 or 4 inch piece of PVC pipe and vent cap. Now I have a 2-pound insulator. This thing is like amazingly heavy, but by God, it'll deck the thing. Now what I did was, in order to build this thing and seal it, I haven't done the RTV thing yet, but I have 2 lugs out there just to hold it up. Although I don't know if I'm going to be able to get an insulated support where this thing's going to be, which is another matter. But be that as it may, lugs in there just to provide stress relief on the wire to where the wires then come out through holes in the side of the PVC. I'll just tack solder them on, no big deal. On the bottom of one of the pipe caps, I got a Teflon female-female, an extended female-female connector, attached it to a male-male so that the flange connector that was provided with the bottom of the Valen is buried inside, and I didn't want to cut 5 holes. I figured just, you know, 1 hole and I'll just extend it. And I used these oversized nuts on the female-female VISP, sort of like thing, except it's Teflon and it's not an 83 ISP for Amphenol. It's a little longer. But anyway, so that's all squared away. I've got it all built. And my question is, ultimately I'm going to build this with number 10 or number 12, but just to experiment, I had some insulated, I think it's number 16 wire, stranded, just to get this thing up. And assuming I don't break the wire with this later, the feed point that weighs 20 tons, do you think I'll be okay with just, you know, for testing the concept out, proving the efficacy of the antenna design? This is K2BAR.
This is K2ZO. Is it a voltage balance or a current balance?
I guess it's a voltage balance. It's got 2 toroids, and the pairs of wires start out together on each core. They're wound in opposite directions, and then, you know, one of the ground and one of the center are tied together, and then you have the other 2 leads coming out to feed the wire. So it's a 4-to-1 balance.
It appears to me that it's a current balance. You have 2 cores, and each core has a pair of wires. They are in parallel at the feed point, and apparently in series at the top point where they go into the antenna. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, well, that is a current balance, which is a much better type of balance.
I apologize. Okay. And the design for the 40-meter version says 21 feet on one side, or 25 feet on one side and 41 feet on the other, and then a 10-foot piece of coax to a line isolator, have one of those 4K LIs that I picked up God knows where somewhere along the way. And I simply, you know, found in my junk box a very nice piece of RG8X that happened to be exactly 10 feet long with connectors on it. So I'm going to put that to work. Your thoughts, Jim?
Okay. I took a Carolina Wyndham apart that had been laying around for a number of years and had gotten all crudded up. And that's that piece, okay, in the commercial version of the antenna is nothing more than a ferrite rod with about 8 or 10 turns of RG 8X inside a piece of PVC pipe.
That is correct. But I'm just happen to be using a piece of RG8. It says RG8U, but it's awfully big to be RG. It must be RG8X. Oh, pardon me, RG8U mini phone. Sorry, RG8X.
Yeah, it should be interesting to try it. I think it'll work very well.
It's going to be up about 30 feet on one end and about 40 on the other, and the feed point will be to the southeast, and the long end will go to the northwest. That's pretty much how it's going, or north-northwest, actually, in a straight line, of course.
Frank, K2HL, just recently built one like that, and I gave him a ferrite core, a powdered iron core that he wound a balun onto, a 4-to-1, and he's worked us with it now from his house up in New York State, and works very well.
But did Frank move?
No, he's always had a house up there, but now that he's retired, he spends a little bit more time there on a weekend.
Yeah, God bless him and Maddie for being able to do that. When I move to a place, it won't be New York State, and number two, I won't be still here, I can assure you of that. Unless I win the lottery, in which case, then we'll talk. Alrighty. Well, Jim, thank you. I'm just going to be using, it's either 16 or 18 stranded insulated wire. Just to test the concept, I'll leave it up for a day or two. If it works, then I'll cut some serious wire and put it up. I just didn't want to sacrifice heavy-duty wire unnecessarily. Okay. Anybody else have a comment about the Carolina Wyndham or other such antennas, KTBAR? Well, that's interesting. Said, do we have some club announcements? First, Jim, why don't you talk about the upcoming HamFest, followed by Don, you would talk about our VE testing, and then Tony, could you fill in any other matters related to the club meeting and the like, anything else, K2BAR, in that order, please.
Okay, have I got it here? This is K2ZO. Okay, the upcoming HamFest is October the 4th. And I just put the paperwork in, as well as the paperwork for all the rest of the events there. I had to kind of wait until I got the insurance certificate, but now we've got it all in and going, so everything looks like it's all okay. The only thing I had to do is to verify the dates for the kid night, and I'll probably be over at school tomorrow to do that, because they were just making the school calendar. So there's going to be a couple of conflicts with the kid night on some of the holidays there. So we'll get that squared away. But that's all going along fine. I started getting emails and phone calls as soon as it hit QST this week. So we're definitely lots of people going, and hopefully we'll have enough volunteers to do everything. I think we'll have a lot of fun at it. Back to that, K2ZO.
Very good. Any questions about the HamFest from anybody? Good. W2JEK, the VE testing.
Hi, K2PAR and then FW2JEK. Well, our next test session will be on a Friday on September 19th. It's the third Friday in September, 7 o'clock. It's at the high school. It's in classroom 123. After that, we will have a test session at the HamFest on October 4th from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Same place, classroom 123. Third test session will be November 23rd, third Friday. This one at 7 p.m., again, classroom 123. And I presume Jim will verify the dates much time goes along once the school calendar is actually made up, to say they don't please to mess things up. By the way, I have a comment on the kite thing. That AA1MY site has a lot of good information on it, and I think Elmer or anybody that wants to fly a kite or fly a balloon, there's a lot of good information there about safety and things like that. You don't want a kite or a balloon to take off and be dragging a wire over power lines and stuff like that. You have to have a good good line to hold itself or the kite. Those things. things that he was making are humongous. they were picking up labor leader cameras and all kinds of stuff. It's a very interesting website. A lot of good information on his site there. That's back to that. W2JK.
Hey, very good. Any questions for Don? Heard, very good. K2AMI, any general club announcements and the like? This is K2BAR.
Me again, this is K2AMI. Well, of course, this next BARA meeting is the full week after the Labor Day weekend, December the 7th. And at that time, our program for the meeting night will be a Quintel program. We've done this a couple of times, and it's worked very nicely. Got a little project that you've worked on or built, or something that you'd like to bring in to show, whether you built it or not, something that you think would be quite interesting to the club members, down on the Hill Night, which is September the 7th. I know we've had parts from sunken ships to helmet submarine. Maybe Helen will bring his torpedo boat. Anyway, things like that are welcome, as well as small radio projects, a key ear that Don built one time out of a little tram, or a new radio that you'd like to show. Go and tell. Remember that for a second. I have more. Of course, the week after that, which is the weekend of, I think, the 13th, 14th VHF contest, BARA has participated in the VHF contest for more than 10 years now. Done very well. In our area, of course, we're limited by the fact that we don't have maximum altitude and we don't have maximum population surrounding the location. So we can get to the far northeast, down east country. You can get down to in that area, down towards Ohio and so forth. And it's amazing to see what you can do with computers, for instance, and other bands. Plan on helping us. We put up some equipment and then operate for 24 hours. We'll be putting it up on a Saturday morning and taking it down late on Sunday afternoon. It's like a 24-8 hour operation. So come and join us. You don't have to participate the whole length of time, but any number of hours that you can give us would be welcome. Okay, back to you there, Gordon, for any comments or questions.
No, I think that's good. Anybody have any questions or comments about these topics, please call K2BAR.
Mr. K.
Yeah, Jim?
Well, first question is for Jim. If he's heard anything back about Senior Center. I know there were some queries made way back when. That was the first question.
Okay, well, I didn't have a valid insurance certificate until just this week. So nothing gets done without that. So I'll pursue it, and we'll see what happens as far as what we want to do. I did get the permission to use the lower building, but it's no bigger than what we have now, a lower portion of the building. What I want to use is the upper portion, and we could then run a regular meeting in there.
Very good. Thank you. And second question is, or comment is, for about Tony's subject, the VHF contest. I've got a couple of days off the Friday, Monday, so obviously, Tony, I can be of whatever help you might need on those 2 days surrounding the event. And I do plan to bring my new toy, so that will make a nice little thing for 6 meters.
Does that do 6 meters?
Of course it does 6 meters.
Oh, my. But it does require AC.
Yeah.
Does it also have 200 watts out at 6 meters?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, Jim, you're a very bad influence. I just want you to know that because of you, I have a Pro 3 in front of me. I'm not going to let that get onto the 7700. I'm just not.
NS2K.
However, if you want to sell your Pro 3... And I somehow find a way to have money, and I'll let you know, and I'd be more than happy to take the Pro 3 off your hands.
There may be a radio or two available, depending upon the circumstances, whatever.
Well, I have to do, you know, the multiplication of loaves and fishes in order to find the means to buy said Pro 3 or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking that it might be an interesting idea to essentially transition my station from a Pro, a 46 Pro and a 56 Pro 3 to, you know, having two 56 Pro 3s or something like that there. But the only problem is I would lose this wonderful two meter radio. At that point, this radio would become literally a two-meter radio, which is not a bad thing. I'd probably also use it to drive transverters for higher bands. Anyway, enough of that. The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to cut myself a 40-meter Envis antenna, just a simple dipole, and put that up about 6 to 8 feet off the ground. I'll be building that up. Actually, I cut it already. I just have to put it up in the next day or so as well, because my other antenna just has way too much signal sometimes, and the Envis antennas are much quieter. I became sold on the Envis antenna at Scout Camp this year because of circumstances. That's the way it worked out. I had two antennas, one high, one low, and boy, the noise level on the Envis antenna was just so much lower, and I was still hearing just about everything, working just about everything. It was amazing. Anyway, between that and the Wyndham, I think that might be the killer combination. Wyndham high and Envis low. So we shall see. Any comments, questions, or confusions, or additional check-ins to that, please call K2BAR. Well, I've heard nothing. I do want to just take a moment here before we, you know, drift off to just point out that Barrack was incredibly well represented last weekend at the Bicycle Touring Club of New Jersey's Ramapo Rally. They started in Mahwah at Camp Gaw, had one rest stop elsewhere in Mahwah, and virtually all the other rest stops were in Morris County, having quickly transitioned through Passaic. The Passaic County folks showed up in force as well. Mostly their Aries Racy's group. Ours were our Aries group, but our Aries group was dominated by Barra members, and that's much to our collective credit, so I did want to point that out. They are begging us to come back next year. Words like professionalism, can-do attitude, situational awareness, all sorts of other adjectives, you know, just thrown around. I went to the post event party for the organizing committee. I think Jim and somebody else did too. I'm trying to remember. Dave from Passaic County, and I think Jim can probably echo the response we got on that matter. You want to make any comments, Jim? NS2KW2TTTHBAR.
Yeah, just to say that, we were approached by lots and lots of folks. There were a number of hams in the group, too, also bicyclists. But the hams and non-hams among the riders alike were very, very thankful, and there were a number of situations that they were very pleased that we were able to take care of, and I was stopped a good number of times by people who in some cases I had met several times at the event, in other cases people I had not seen at all. You know, they were out on the course, but they saw us, they knew what we were doing, and they were very, very thankful. It was a far cry from some of the other events that we've been involved with here. NS2K.
Absolutely. And I'm going to discuss next month at our Aries meeting an idea I have. In fact, I think we could end up doing all sorts of interesting things, and maybe even getting some of the Bicycle Touring Club people involved, not just in ham radio and some of the other things. You know, we can help refine their event a little bit. So we'll talk about that when we meet next. Definitely some technology opportunities here related to telecommunications of all things. So anything else from anybody, any check-ins with a comment, questions, confusions, please call K2BAR. Okie dokie. Well, having heard nothing, I want to thank everybody for a wonderful night tonight. It was very lively, very diverse in the questions. Good questions all around. Great answers from everybody else. It was, God only knows, not so much for me. I just spout off a couple of ideas or start Googling things. But in any case, I'd like to thank the Burton County FM Association for the use of the repeater tonight. To remind everybody that on Monday nights we have a net on 28350. Upper sideband at 9 p.m. Jim K2ZO is the net control. And 443 or 444 100 on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, plus or minus the draw from the kit night. What do you call it? KF2ID Ben runs a net Ben. And then on Wednesday night, N2OEL runs the chat net here again at 9 p.m. on 146.79. And then finally, we're back to Wednesday night, probably Thursday night, for the TechNet, which yours truly, Gordon W2TTT, aided and abetted by many competent members of our crack techno team from Barra. Again, I'd like to thank everybody for the help and contributions tonight. It really was a little compact on the check-in list, but what the heck. So N2OEL, NS2K, K2ZO, K2AMI, K2BDU, K2ZC, who we did see over the weekend as well, W2JEK, and W2TTT, your net control, is finding K2BAR clear and returning the repeater to normal amateur use. Godspeed, everybody.
Good night, Courtney.
Good night, Noel. It really was. Oh, by the way, just a reminder for everybody, it's going to be really nice this weekend. Get outside and put up antennas.